Have you ever been to the creamer aisle at the grocery store? He's like, the creamer aisle? I'm like, yeah, like coffee creamer. He's like, yes. I'm like, okay, well, there's whole milk and half and almond milk and oat milk. And then you go to the flavors, and depending on the season, there's peppermint mocha and there's pumpkin spice or there's vanilla. Like, my point is, the options are endless, but there is a consumer for each one of those types of creamer because it's the right flavor for the right person at the right time. And my talk will be just like that. It will be the right message from the right person at the right time because it comes from me on your stage.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, today, another super special awesome human. It's the first ever, y'all. That's right, indeed. We've never had a sports executive on the podcast who actually was a freaking GM. I think the closest we ever had sports related was a guy who was on the staff of the Super Bowl winning Giants. That's probably about it. But today's guest, you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat 10 times over indeed, because today's guest is a wonderful TEDx speaker with the wonderful TEDx talk with over 3 million views and counting, as well as a former sports executive. And she was actually the first female executive in 20 years for that wonderful baseball team, indeed, the Triple A baseball team. Indeed. And she's also a confidence booster as well. So she's going to put a battery rocket chip and a Concorde jet plane in your back to get your confidence at 8-pack lab F level. So let's give it up for the E to the J, Miss Emily Jansen. How you doing today, Emily?
I'm great, Dom. Thank you for having me.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Welcome to the danger zone. That's right. I mean, the Going North podcast. Yeah. Yeah. That's what the show's called. Yeah.
On the up and up.
And she comes equipped with puns. This is good. All right.
I've been working on that one since I booked this show. You know, I just had to start off real hot from the beginning.
There you go. She's coming in hot, starting off hotter than fish grease. You'll love to see it. Well, it ain't about fish grease. That's about the wonderful Emily herself. So my goodness, as with all introductions, I'm not allowed to be 653 days long, and I probably only covered, I don't know, 653 seconds. So am I filling in any cavities I may have missed about you on how you became the Emily that you are today?
Sure. My name's Emily Jansen. I am a professional speaker, and I speak on the topic of confidence. And I got here on a long, twisty, windy road, as most people do, that we're not on this straight, linear path. We learn along the way. So I'm going to take you back quick to high school, but I promise I won't go over 20 years in detail. So don't be scared, but we'll start in high school. I was too shy to order a pizza. I couldn't even call and talk to a stranger on the phone. I was hiding behind my mom's leg, unless it was in the most comfortable of situations in the very small town I grew up in Illinois. And there was a part of me who always wanted more, but as I think most small town folks know, that when you grow up in a town of 3,000 people, there's limited visibility and availability to what you might want to be when you grow up, especially when that was before we held computers in our hands that are also known as phones, and we didn't have the internet. I had a dial-up computer in our basement office at my house. The whole like Wii U AOL sound to get connected to the internet.
Yes, I missed that sound.
That was where I started, and I had big dreams of doing more. I went to college at University of Illinois. I almost quit because I had never felt like a minnow in an ocean before, and that's really what it felt like going to this big university. But I started to look around and see these people who were walking to their classes, heads held high. They looked like what they knew what they were doing. They had a dream for their future, and I knew I wanted that too. That's why I had chosen to go away to school in the first place. And so I started to behave like that person. I started to behave like the person that I needed to become to be my future self. And that was someone of greater confidence. So little by little, I put myself in uncomfortable situations, and eventually I graduated from college and I got my first job with the Chicago Bulls in the NBA. And it was a dream come true. I had grown up watching Michael Jordan, and I'd watched them win all those championships. And I was like, I freaking made it. Like, I am in this internship with the Chicago Bulls for the next year, and it's gonna be amazing. Well, it turns out, Dom, that for a girl who couldn't call and order a pizza, making 80 phone calls a day to sell season tickets was like not something I look forward to every morning. But I wanted to be in that environment, learn that skill set, push myself outside my comfort zone, and I did. And I learned how to make a sale. I learned how to get uncomfortable in uncomfortable situations, and really grew a lot. Years later down the line, I became the GM of a AAA baseball team, and I was the first female GM in almost 20 years. And that opportunity gave me the chance to take a leadership role in minor league baseball. It gave me a chance to lead my team. It gave me a chance to stand up for women in sports, women in baseball across the US. I started to speak on some stages, and I realized that that saying is true. Marion Wright Edelman said, "You can't be what you can't see." And one woman after another would come and say to me, "I didn't even know I could be a GM until I saw you." Because all they had seen was men in that role before. So I realized that I needed to continue to speak up and stand up and tell my story. And also, I wanted to tell the story of others. So I started a podcast myself, Leadership is Female, where I interviewed female executives in sports so that they could share their path to excellence so that other women could see what was possible for their careers. And 3 years later, I did a TEDx talk, and I got accepted to do the talk. And I did the talk on confidence because I knew that growing my confidence helped me to reach my goals. And I discovered through 100 interviews on this podcast that these women had grown their confidence and therefore reached their goals. So I kind of distilled this down into this 10-minute talk on how there are six behaviors that you can start today to increase your confidence, because over time, science will tell you that your behaviors can change your attitude. Well, that talk got 3 million views in a year. Then I wrote a book and extrapolated on this whole concept, and that book comes out this spring. So I don't know that that was like short, but that was the shortest way that I could tell a very long story so that your listeners kind of know who I am, what I'm about, and how I just love to help people, help companies grow their confidence so that these individuals can reach the big dreams they have for their lives.
Yeah, that's right indeed. Dreams bigger than three Noah's Arks, y'all. That's right indeed. Extra big. That's right indeed. Where you can get all the 2x2s and the 4x4s. That's right indeed. That's what I'm talking about today. That's talking about today. Well, that's freaking awesome too. Like being able to be a GM and then basically get out of your wonderful turtle shell and really put yourself out there like that, and then really up your confidence to get those six pack confidence abs indeed. So my goodness, so was sports always something that you're always really gunning towards, even as a younger version of Emily back in the good old days of high school?
Yeah, I played sports my whole childhood. I had two brothers, and so when we weren't playing an organized sport, we were playing sports at home. I grew up in a place I literally did not have neighbors. Like across the street was a tree farm, and on the other side was a cornfield. So it was like
Yeah.
it's just the three of us. So I was playing sports at home, and I was very happy when my parents allowed me to sign up and play in competitive sports growing up. And that was really, it was the only place I could ever feel the slightest bit of confidence because, you know, you worked with your coach, you worked with your teammates, you practiced, and then you got to compete and you got this feedback and you could show how you were like growing and improving over time, over the years. And so I was confident on the sports field and I liked that feeling. And that was really the only area of my life that I really felt that sense of, okay, I can do this. And if I can't do it now, I can work on getting better. And I thought, wow, wouldn't that be great if I could have a career working in sports? But I didn't understand really how that would work. I didn't know what a front office was when I was young. And when I went away to college, a girl who was 2 years older than me, when she graduated, she got a job at the Bulls. And I had learned about that. And I reached out to her and I said, hey, Lauren, how are you working for the Bulls? Like, what does that mean? What is your job? And at the time, I was studying advertising. And she told me about what she did. And, you know, we stayed in touch and she let me know when there was an internship available. And at the same time, I was studying advertising. And so I was applying and networking at all these agencies in Chicago. And I got a job at an ad agency, full-time salary benefit. And I turned it down because that same week I got accepted for the internship at the Bulls. And that was really a big leap for me. One, because I didn't like come from a lot of money. So to turn down a salary and benefits to get like $9 an hour working in the industry was a risky proposition. But I went for it. That was really an opportunity for me to bet on myself. And I'll tell you what though, Dom, when I first entered into that sales training during our first weeks in the job, I thought, oh my God, what have I done? I've made the biggest mistake of my life. This job is not like the actual job duties. I loved walking past the Michael Jordan statue every morning. But beyond that, I was like, this is not like my thing. But over the course of the term, you know, I learned a new skill set. I worked outside my comfort zone. I got to understand the industry and what was involved. I mean, you can't have a sports franchise without selling tickets. Like that's the lifeblood of any organization. And you know, what an honor and great experience for me to get so early in my career. It was at the end of the day, it was awesome, but it's definitely painful when you're going through the growing.
Going through the growing. Yeah, growing pains are real. It ain't just for teenagers and their bodies. It's for life. It's right indeed.
It
Especially
is.
personal. Again, indeed. It's right indeed. So, what was that growing pain like for you when you made it to GM at the Triple A team, which is probably a stark difference? Did any of your skills transfer over to the GM role?
Yeah, I mean, I had built a career working in sports. I worked in a nonprofit, in a big nonprofit, running events and programs, which really helped me to understand community and community needs in a whole new way, which was another skill set I could bring to the table. And I think that no matter what job you're going after or what career opportunity you're going after, you have to figure out a way to tie together your set of experiences to fit these new roles. And I hadn't planned my career path to land in that GM spot, but I did work my tail off every place I worked. I have this this saying, this motto, be so good they won't forget you. And what that means for me is putting in your best effort anytime you get an opportunity. And that's really what led me to getting that opportunity. At the end of the day, it wasn't a headline about female GM. It was, hey, this woman can produce for our baseball franchise. And at the AAA level, you know, for those of you who don't know baseball well, it starts at Major League Baseball. And to this today, it pretty much goes down to Little League. But you go, the MLB club is like the first team. After that is AAA, then AA, then Single A, which has High A and Low A. And the MLB team owns the roster for all of those teams. So essentially, you got a 180-man roster for your major league club. And so at our level, at AAA level, you're prepping those guys either for their debut, or you're rehabbing a major league guy, or you're warming their bench, essentially. In Reno, where I was the GM, we had 180 transactions per season. So that was guys that were coming down, mostly pitchers, to work and then get called back up and then sent back down and work and get that game time experience and go back up again. So you're that final stop for a guy whose dream is coming true, or you're working for that club to make sure that their players are ready. And in my role, that involved all the operations side of baseball, but also the fan experience. So making sure that at our stadium, we had fans in the stands, that we were maximizing our sponsorship revenue, that we had merchandise available, and that we were brilliant members in our community. It's running a business, right? And that was my last role, and it was an honor and a privilege to be in that space, and helped elevate me to kind of another mountaintop, where when I was standing up there, I thought, all right, this isn't going to be my final peak that I summit. I'm still relatively early in my career. I've got so much more I want to do. What's next? And that's when the opportunity to take speaking to a professional level, meaning that companies, organizations hire you to come and deliver a keynote that is impactful and serves their your audience and teaches them something and leaves them with a longstanding impact. When that opportunity arose, like that was my jump, and I was all in on that.
Oh, all in indeed, all in indeed. So do you see yourself ever maybe transitioning to the major leagues from a business perspective? Or you feel like, no, I think I had enough. It's time to really build my own dang castle now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny the way our careers move around. If you want them to, if you keep yourself open to opportunity, to living into the next right opportunity for that season of your life. You know, right now I couldn't be more excited to be doing the work that I'm doing, to impact companies, to impact at these conferences, to teach people how they can increase their confidence and improve their own lives. Like, that's incredible. So that's really my focus right now. And I'm all in on that one. So we'll see what the future holds. It's always exciting.
With a big old X indeed. It's exciting indeed. So my goodness, so securing a TEDx talk and it being a freaking successful one, no doubt, with 3 million views plus. So did you already have a budding speaking career at the beginning, or did it just come out of nowhere where someone was like, hey, wait a second, you're a freaking GM and you're a lady? Oh, and you're kicking butt at your job. Like, hey, we need you to talk on this red teddy bear stage here and tell us how you freaking got here. So how was that like?
Yeah, so I had some friends reach out to me and send me the link to apply for TEDx. And they said, Emily, you should do this. And anytime more than one person sort of reveals an opportunity to you, I think you should really you should listen. And I had spoke a lot before then, but it was mostly on behalf of the baseball club. And then I'd gotten an opportunity to speak at a few different women in business conferences, women in sports conferences. And I loved it. I loved the chance to be on stage and teach from the stage, teach in from a standing position. And it was just such a cool experience. So when my friends had sent over this TEDx thing, I was like, okay, I'll try, I'll apply, I'll go for it. Cause if anyone's tried to get a TEDx, like you, there's an application process that you have to go through in order to be accepted to that event's lineup. And it just so happened that the TEDx that I had applied for had a brilliant production. The company who did their production had done the previous year Super Bowl halftime show. Like, that's how seriously they took this event. And so I open up the application, Dom, and it's like, you know, fill out your name. What is your contact information? And then it gets to the point where it says, okay, what's your topic? What is your speech going to be about when you give the best short talk of your life? And I was looking at the empty white box and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I didn't have a plan in mind necessarily when I started filling out the application. I thought, okay, the podcast is Leadership is Female. Is this something on women in business? Like, really, how does this distill down? What can I share? And it was while I was staring at that box, just like ruminating about the distillation of these messages that I had gotten through these interviews and through my own life. And I thought, okay, it's confidence. It's confidence. And so I start typing about confidence and the things that I'm going to say and trying to like make this application sound fantastic. So I get the spot. You know, I'm competitive. I wanted to get the position. So I hit submit. And a few weeks later, I got a phone call from the organizer of the event. And he's like, hey, this is the people from TEDx Reno. You know, our committee was reviewing your application and we're really interested in what you have to say, but we had hundreds of people apply and, you know, you made the top 80 and then you made the top 60 and then you made the top 40 and we're down to the final 20 spots. And, I just have to know, like, how are you going to be different? And I was like, what do you mean? How am I going to be different? And he said, Emily, there's an entire channel on the TEDx platform about confidence. So how is your message on confidence going to be different than all of the other messages that are in the TEDx YouTube channel? And I said to him, I said, well, to be fair, I haven't watched all the videos in the TEDx Confidence YouTube channel. And I think that messages come to the right people from the right people at the right time. Have you ever been to the creamer aisle at the grocery store? He's like, the creamer aisle? I'm like, yeah, like coffee creamer. He's like, yes. I'm like, okay, well, there's whole milk and half and almond milk and oat milk. And then you go to the flavors and depending on the season, there's peppermint mocha and there's pumpkin spice or there's vanilla. Like, my point is, the options are endless, but there is a consumer for each one of those types of creamer because it's the right flavor for the right person at the right time. And my talk will be just like that. It will be the right message from the right person at the right time because it comes from me on your stage. And he was like, all right, you got my attention. And then we kind of went into a little more of the details on the talk and he called me back the next day. He's like, you got it. You got the spot. So I wasn't prepared, number one, for that call. I wasn't prepared to answer those questions, but I think true to my topic, I had the confidence to wholeheartedly believe in myself and believe in what I could do in 10 minutes for anybody who saw the video. And I approached the entire TEDx ramp up to performance in the same light. Like, I just thought, what an opportunity this is, and I'm going to have the best time ever being a part of this. It's such an opportunity, and I'm going to just blow this talk out of the water. And it happened that way. Like, I think if you watch the talk, you can see, like, I had a genuinely amazing time on stage, and not every speaker has that experience. It's very nerve-wracking to get in front of a crowd like that, to get in front of those cameras under those lights. And you know, I don't blame people for being nervous and shaking through it. But for me, I thought, man, if I could just get up here and have a great time, I think that people are going to hear my message in the way that was intended. And it worked. So for anybody who's going after a TEDx spot, be real certain on your topic. Know what you're going to say. Know what impact you can have on your listeners. And I promise you, if you go in with the intention to serve your audience, you will be awarded a spot on a stage somewhere at one of these TEDx events.
Yeah, and she proves that the cream rises to the top. That's right indeed. The new flavor cream for your coffee, confidence cream. That's right indeed. Mm-hmm. That's right. The Emily Jensen approved version. That's right indeed. Where it's the right mix of sweet, but yet a little on the creamy side, where it's like, all right, cool. This is the best cup of coffee ever. That's right. Give me the whole pot. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, speaking of plot, you planted your wonderful voice on the magical microphone and decided to launch a magical, magical, super special, awesome podcast called Leadership is Female. So it's like, what inspired the title, and what are your top three major lessons learned from running and growing it?
Yeah, so what inspired the title? It's bold. I mean, I am an inclusive leader. I have I no discrimination involved in just for women. Like, we've got 30% listeners are men, but it just became a platform to interview successful women in business. And I came up with the title. It literally came to me in the middle of the night, just because I had thought about, hey, I'm this woman who's spoken on a lot of stages, and my message has really resonated with other women around the idea that you can't be what you can't see. So what if I created a platform where I would interview women who've done incredible things in their career to give a little bit more visibility on their success so that we could lead others forward? So that's where the name of the podcast originated. And yeah, 3.5 years in, oh man, it's hard to ever like wrap that up into top lessons or top interviews. I'm sure you feel the same. You've talked to so many incredible people, and I'm just so blessed. I feel like anytime I get the chance to talk to somebody new, but I would say the top three lessons I've learned, I would say the one, clearly we've talked about it, this whole conversation is confidence. It's not just me. It is so many other women. The minute that they grew their confidence, that they became a more confident person, they reached the top. I would say second to that is finding your voice. I think this is different from confidence, because finding your voice is defined differently by each and every person that I've interviewed. And it might be finding your voice and using it to speak up about a social issue. It may be finding your voice and using it to lead your company forward. But what it means is really being able to define your why. So why do you do what you do? Why do you show up in the capacity that you do? Show up for your job, show up for your employees. Like, what is your why? And then what does that mean to you, or what does that mean to your community? Like, for me, my why was that I wanted to continue to lead the next girl forward. I wanted to, if you didn't have a mentor that you could grab a coffee with or call up when you had a question or someone to admire in their career to emulate, I wanted the podcast to be that for these people. So I created it and have stayed dedicated to producing it. For others, you know, it might be something a little bit different. It might look a little bit different, but defining what that voice was and then having the courage to use it. That's been an incredible inspiration and breakthrough. And I would say the third piece, which is, it can be so obvious, but a lot of people just don't do it. And it's growing your network, growing your inner circle, your outer circle, the number of people around you, and being so generous with your network, introducing them to people that you know, staying close, congratulating them, serving that network, tending that network, that you can start from nothing. I started from nothing. I literally knew nobody. Like, you can start from zero. And the more generous and the more you pay into it, the more it pays you back with opportunity, with friendship, with just knowledge. Those would be my three: confidence, finding your voice, and really paying attention to and serving your network.
Sweet. That's what I'm talking about, Dave. I'm talking about Dave. It's like, hey, you gotta write about part number two. It's like, I found my voice, y'all. It's like, oh crap, there's an audience. There's people out there. Where's that turtle shell? Bring it back. I gotta go full introvert. I found my voice, but I'll talk about it later. I must be shy now. That's right, indeed.
That's funny. I found my voice, but I'll talk about it later.
Yeah, because hey, it takes a whole lot of ingredients. Kind of like how this one time heard a pastor mention how basically public speaking is one of the few exercises that exercise your whole body, because it's the whole body, mind, spirit. It's like, hey, you got to move around. You got to stand up when you're talking to people. If you're in front of an audience and you're using your mind, because hey, you don't want to say anything too stupid. And depending on the audience, if it goes to the spiritual side, using that part too. And that can be enervating. So it's like, oh, let me stay in this turtle shell if you're shy. And don't do that, y'all. Please don't do that. If you got your voice, use it, dang gummit. Find your confidence. Hire Emily as your coach. She's got you covered like a blanket. She can help you get those six-pack confidence abs, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll be walking outside in Speedos for no reason. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Even if leadership is female, she had her Nike moment, y'all. That's right, indeed. And it got in the top 200 for a reason, indeed. So, my goodness, so since you've been on quite a few interviews on both sides of the microphone, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're on the guest side of the game?
When I'm on the guest side of the game, a question they'd ask me more often. I have never been asked that before. Gosh, I don't know. That is a one that stumps me. I usually ask at the end of my show a few questions. I ask, what's your best piece of advice for women today, or for anyone today, so that they can level up? Where are you traveling to next? What is your pump up song? And what is your favorite quote? And I ask those four questions because I love those four questions. So I would want to answer, you know, we've talked a lot about leveling up and what you could do. So I would want to answer, where am I traveling to next? What is my pump up song? And what is my favorite quote? So do you want to ask me those?
Woohoo! I already know you got the answers ready to those. Go ahead, share them with the world.
Yes. Okay. So where am I traveling to next? I'm leaving this weekend I'm running a marathon in Mesa, Arizona, and I'm going after a new PR, and I'm super excited. Along with confidence, I also talk a lot about goal setting and how setting and pursuing your goals can just change your life for the better forever. So that's a goal I've been working on for a while, and I'm pumped that it is this weekend. What is my pump up song? You better believe this is on my playlist. I feel like I have the best playlist ever, but I love Champion by Carrie Underwood and Ludacris. It is, I just want those lyrics like wallpapered around every wall in my house. And then finally, my favorite quote is, "Be so good, they won't forget you." And I think that that's a quote that if you just keep that one close to your heart, you will show up authentically, wholly, fully. You will be where your feet are. You will not be thinking about your grocery list. You'll be thinking about the interaction that you're having with the person in front of you or on the other end of the line. So hold that one tight. Be so good, they won't forget you, and show up for those moments in your life. All of them, not just the big ones, the little ones too, because they're all precious, and it's all part of our experience here on earth. So don't miss it.
I knew I mentioned Nike's for a reason. She's going on a marathon, baby. That's right. Indeed. It continues. That's right. She's gonna beat all her PRs, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. All her personal records. That's right indeed. She's gonna be like, "All right, cool. I'm gonna make my own glass ceiling and break it." That's right indeed. That's right indeed. At least I'm gonna make sure I wear armor when I do it, though. Don't want it to get in the skin. Like, that'll hurt my toe. That's right. Be like, breakthrough glass ceilings, baby. Woo! Oh, thank God, it's painful. They didn't tell me this part about it.
Yeah.
Right indeed. There's a reason why E comes before F. So right indeed. Be so good they don't forget about you. So right indeed. Because you can't forget about Emily all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, speaking of good, there's probably some good old traps and pitfalls and setbacks on the way to the magical good, if not great. So what would you consider your biggest setback that actually was a setup for your success?
Oh, yeah. My biggest step back. Gosh, there's two big ones, but I'll mention the first. So I talked about my internship with the Chicago Bulls. And when I had that role, there were 12 of us that were interns, and it was essentially a competition. I think this could have been a reality show. We were fighting for a full-time position. There were going to be one or two available at the end of the internship. And the way you earn that spot is to be top of the leaderboard in sales and, you know, a couple other intangibles. So at the end of the internship, I end up being number one in group sales, but I was not at the top in season ticket sales. And I did not get a full-time job offer. And I was devastated. Like, I had really had to work hard to show up for that job every day and push myself beyond what I thought I was capable of and just put a lot into it. And there's a lot of growing when you have your first job out of college and you're living in a new city. I mean, it was reflecting back on it. I was like, dang, you know, that was a lot. And then at the end, I didn't get the job. And I remember finding out and like, I just was crying. I was so upset, and I didn't have the mindset that I'd have today, where today, if that would happen, I would be like, dang, but you know what? Good for you who got the job. And this is an opportunity for me to find the next right thing. This wasn't it. Let's find the next right thing. Did not have that perspective at 22 years old. So I was so bummed, but I left sports for a time, like I mentioned, and I went and worked for a nonprofit. And when I left sports, my boss from the Bulls told me, "Emily, if you leave sports, you're never going to get back in." And I told him, "That's not going to be my story. If I want to come back, I'll find a way." And so because I left early, I feel like I got such incredible experiences in those different roles that I had after my Bulls experience that really shaped my career. And then, as I said, when I had gotten the GM role, you know, many years down the line, all of those experience that I had really paid into earning that position and then ultimately setting me up for where I am today. So, you know, it sounds cliche to say everything happens for a reason, but I do think that that mindset of like, this is happening for me, not to me, can really, you know, serve you to have a successful opportunity full life and career if you don't get taken down by every roadblock that comes in your way.
Ah, yes, I'm talking about indeed. So I'm talking about indeed. Who knew? They were mad you got a shark instead of a bunch of salmon. They're like, hey, we're trying to get a bunch of cans in the seats, y'all. We're not talking about sharks and groups. That's right, indeed. definitely not a baby shark. But anyways, that's a whole nother thing. It's funny how things work out, though. It's like, haha, good old past experience. It's like, I got the top on this list, but not the overall. But hey, yo, we ruled the day. That's right, indeed. Yo, we ruled the day. It was a lesson for the future. That's right, indeed. It paid off in the long run, indeed. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, Let's Go, A Guide to Increasing Your Confidence, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, if that book were a food. Oh my gosh. Okay, I got an answer for that. That was like a left field question for sure, but here, I am prepared. Okay, if that book were a food, it would be a taco bar because I've got 15 chapters in here that cover three different parts: behaviors, mindset, action. And while it would be great to consume it from beginning to end, like you can pick and choose. If you feel like, all right, today I'm going for a veggie taco, like you could pick just a couple of chapters in the middle if you need to polish up on some of those topics. If you're ready to go all in with the taco supreme, you know, get into the action part of the book, the Let's Go section. I think, you know, we've been taught to read from cover to cover, right? From beginning to end. But this book, you can and should read it in that direction and learn the story. But you could also pick up and say, hey, like, dang, like I've had a really crappy week and I failed big time doing whatever it is that you failed at. Open up to chapter 9, dealing with failure. And read about an epic failure of mine and how I overcame it, an epic failure of some of the guests on the podcast and how they overcame it, and some research on how to overcome your failure, and then do an exercise on how to overcome failure. And I guarantee, I'm not going to say you'll probably, like I guarantee that you're going to feel better at the end. Like there's going to be a crack in that exterior of that really bummed out person, and the light's going to start shining through, and you're going to think like there's promise ahead. So taco, my book is a taco and you can make it whatever flavor or combination that you want.
That's what I'm talking about, Dade. So someone says, hey, this sounds fishy. You heard about confidence before. Well, don't worry. We got many different flavors for you. It's right, Dave. It's a whole taco bar, y'all. She's raising it. She's raising that bar, y'all. That's right, Dave. That's right, indeed. You can even drink the confidence drink, too, metaphorically from the book, too. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. It'll feel like Taco Tuesday every day when you read this book, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Mm-hmm. Oh, is this going to be on audio, too, by the way?
Yeah. You'll be able to hear my beautiful Midwestern accent just coming right through your ears, reading the book to you. So that will be available later this year. So yeah, that'll be great. So I have digital copy, hardcover, soft cover available on Amazon later this spring. So the publisher tells me, Emily, just keep saying spring because we don't trust the printing companies just yet after all that we've been through in these last couple of years. So don't give them a hard date. Just say spring. So spring 2024 later this year, the book will be available. You can also follow me on social media. I'm at Emily Janson, Janson, or check out my website and get all the updates. But yeah, the book, I can't believe it. It'll be out in just a couple months.
Sweet. We're that right, folks. The brainwashing is coming. The brainwashing is coming. That's right. You get to hear her voice even longer after today's magical interview. Indeed. That's right. Indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow when you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, man. Oh, gosh. Emily of her 20s needed a lot of help. But I don't know. Have you seen that movie, The Butterfly Effect? Like, I love my life. I have an amazing husband and three beautiful children. And oh my God, if anything changed, that those beautiful souls were not with me on this planet, that would be horrible. So I wouldn't tell her anything. I would just say, I'd be quiet. I would not find my voice in that moment. I would, because I wouldn't want my life to be any different than it is right now. I wouldn't want that to change. But Emily definitely could have used a hug and used the knowledge that, you know, keep putting in the work, keep doing the next right thing, keep trying, be patient, and it'll all work out. I think in our 20s, impatience could probably have summarized that period of my life for sure. I mean, and I think it's probably worse today, that we want it all and we want it all right now. And it takes a little time to get there. You got to get the experience first before you can get to the position you want to be. And you could certainly get the experience by just getting in the arena. So whatever is burning on your heart, whatever it is that you want to try, just start today. Don't worry so much about messing up, do it imperfectly and give it a go. I hope you're here to live a big life just like I am.
Oh, a big life, bigger than three humpback whales, y'all. That's right indeed. Extra big. That's right indeed. It'll be so extra large, it'll be a 10XL. And God, if there's a 10XL out there, then man, that'll be something. That's definitely bigger than Shaq. That's probably three Shaqs. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. It's actually amusing, that question sometimes. Folks always forget the last part of it. It's like the current year parts where you wake up and your significant other is a cradle robber. That's the part they always forget.
And I had a child at like 15, 16 years old. Yeah, that's not good.
Yep, more good times. Well, speaking of more good times, one more time for the folks, where can folks follow the Emily Train at?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn at Emily Janson. That's EmilyJanson. And also my website, EmilyJanson.com. If you liked what you heard, I would love to make an impact on your business or at your conference by teaching you the behaviors to increase your confidence. So that's what I'm really excited about doing this year, is speaking on more stages. So if you're interested, head over to my website, shoot me a message, and let's talk. I would love to be a part of what you're doing.
Woo-hoo! Whether it's Mountain Dew or Honeydew, she wants to know, y'all. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Follow Emily and all of her wonderful wares, and check out the Leadership is Female podcast. Indeed. Got some great interviews, some great books you probably wouldn't hear about on a normal scale. That's right indeed. Some great content that lies within. And cops and copies of her magical book when it launches, and be able to look out for that audio book too, as well as grab it on digital too. Just grab all three versions, y'all. That's right indeed. Get it for your cat, your kitten, your dog, your poodle, and get it for your penguin, your camel, or if the penguin is riding a camel with a wonderful, wonderful Scorpio on the side. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Just a random scorpion just floating with a magical book. It's like, hey, let's go. You're about to get stung with this confidence here, metaphorically. It'll be a good sting, though. It'll be a good sting. You'll jump into your dreams. That's right, indeed. You'll be going, indeed. Well, before that rabbit hole gets any deeper, when a wonderful platypus jumps in it, any parting words before we close up shop, Emily?
Yes, my parting words: be so good, they won't forget you. And know that as a human, we have this amazing ability to grow, evolve, and change, and get out there and live a big life and chase your dreams confidently. Let's go.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe.